Power. Power? Power? You got power? Is that working? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Let me ask a few times. All right.
Well, welcome. I'm just standing there kind of watching and looking at this group of people and just feeling really blessed. Like really blessed. Anytime you can fill up a church, I think these days it's an important thing. So my heart is filled with joy. For some of you who don't know me, I'm Reggie. Me and Steve are the elders here, and I'm going to share a message with you. Couple of things is I'm French, so I use my hands a lot. I like to move around. That's why I have to have this dress right. I'm not used to having this high thing, though. I usually go and grab that little low one every time and kind of march it out here. And I'm a creature of habit, so that throws me off. I feel a little off because this is so high. Isn't that ridiculous? But that's how it is. I'm going to bring you on kind of like the journey that I have when I'm talking to God. So I was praying about God, like, what kind of message do I bring? I said, I remember sitting in the seat. And I know there was a time period where somebody, like my parents and family, wanted me to go to church. And so I was coming to church, kind of dragged to church. And sitting in the audience and going like, I really don't want to be here. I want to be home. I want to be opening gifts. I want to be eating food. And so I know what that feels like. And some of you may be in that position right now. And it can happen. You know, it's one of those things. And I'm like a real preacher. I just like to tell how I've battled things. And that's one of the battles I've had to overcome. And it wasn't until I got touched by the Lord that all of a sudden, like, things changed. And now I got excitement when I come to church. And so that's a little bit of a different journey that we end up on. So I pray that if you are here and you're kind of resentingly here, I pray that you get touched today by these kids. I mean, I don't know. Those kids were fantastic. You know, they're just unbelievable, aren't they? And so I'm going to talk about, I was praying, and I just said, what do you want me to share with the people tonight? And so I'm going to talk about a little journey that me and God went on, conversation that happened in my head. And that's what I'm going to start with. So as I was praying about this message, I was asking God, what do you want me to share for Christmas message? And when I ask the Lord a question, He tends to ask me a question back. This happens all the time. Like, the Lord always asks me a question. He never gives me a straight answer. I just like, can you just tell me straight? He asks me a question back all the time in my head. This is what I'm hearing. So He's asking me, you know, and immediately I heard in my head, what is so different about my birth than any other person's birth in history? That's what He asked me. And I'm sitting there going, okay. We can deal with this. This is easy, right? I can come up with things. And so I started, and I said, there's probably the most significant thing that stuck out that was different is He was born of a virgin. And I mean, there's not many people that happens to, right? Like, geez, you know, like, how can that be, right? So that was like the obvious thing that came to me. And so I was praying, and I was like, do you want me to talk about that? And He's like, no, what else? What else? What else about my birth? Dig a little deeper. And so I thought some more, and I realized, like, he was born in Bethlehem. And He says, nope. Many people were born in Bethlehem. Like, hello. And so he said, I was born in extreme conditions. And born in a stable and placed in a manger. That ain't too good, right? That's unique, right? But back then, that was a different time period, and people went through extreme situations. We're unfamiliar with that. We're pretty comfortable, right? We just go to the hospital. It's pretty simple. Sometimes you can have it at home, but even at home with midwives and stuff, it's pretty simple. But back then, there was a lot of crazy situations that was going on. So it just didn't seem that different. And so how about the king that was threatening your birth, which the kids were just kind of like talking about a little bit, right? How about the king? He's threatening your birth and ordered all the other ones to be killed and stuff. And that seems pretty unique during that time period. He said, no, king back then, they ordered people's deaths all the time. Like, that's how it was under tyranny. They just ordered death. And it just happened like that. It was a different time period. So it wasn't that was even really unique. I said, wise men brought gifts? And he said, come on, Reg. What is wrong with you? That's what you think made my birth different? I'm sitting there scratching my head, and I'm like, gee whiz, what am I going to bring for a message? I don't understand all this, right? And after going through all these other facts about Jesus' birth, and there was a lot more, and I don't want to keep you here forever, because my wife said, Reg, don't talk forever. And there's two things I talk forever about, one sports and one God. And I just can't shut up when I go to talk about God, so that's why I have a paper to keep me in line, because bad things happen. I could go off and we could be here for another 2 hours. And so I had to write, come on, Reg. Like, that's not it. That's not so different. So after going through all these other facts in my head, it came to me. What do they all have in common as a group? As a group. And I said, I got to think about this. And then it came to me. All these facts of Jesus were written and prophesied hundreds of years ago. Hundreds of years ago. Not just 100, not just 200, not 500, not 600, like some of them 700 years ago. Somebody said something that this was going to happen 700 years ago, and then it happened. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, like, that's like, you know, somebody saying like 100 years ago, who lives in Indiana, saying Steve Edmund is going to be born at McVetty Clinic on this day, which is actually this day, right? He's going to be born in McVetty's clinic on the 24th of December. And then somebody else in Vermont said later on, 25 years later, says, hey, he's going to grow up in Dummer. And then somebody else says, hey, he's going to own a farm. And somebody else says, he's going to marry Melinda. And this was all done way ahead of time, before. I mean, we laugh at that stuff, but that's what happened. Can you grab a hold of how that happened? Like, we're talking hundreds of years. There was a prediction by many people out of the books of Genesis and Jeremiah and Micah, Isaiah, Psalms, Numbers, and Hosea. All these predictions. And they came true. At least 8 prophetic statements were fulfilled at the time of his birth. And that was just the start of over 300 predictions, prophecies. Right? Prophecies fulfilled by Jesus in his short 33 years of life here on this earth. We know he's alive, but on this earth, at that time. It was crazy. Reggie, how did they know what to write 500, 600, 700 years ago? How did they know that? And then God said to me, I told them hundreds of years before Jesus' birth on earth, I knew the skeptical mind of people would not believe in Jesus unless there was something written way in advance to Jesus' birth. Any skeptical minds? Right here. I'm a science boy. I need proof. That's a skeptical mind. and people struggle to believe completely. Sometimes they need guidance. And even then, for some, it's not enough. Even when the proof is right in front of our face, sometimes we just can't accept that. We can't accept it because we don't see it. We can't feel it. We can't touch it. But he does feel it right in here. So he said, I want you to share this on Christmas Eve, and I have another question for you to answer and share. What did the birth and death and resurrection of my son change then and is still significant today? It's still significant today. And that's when I had to go to the Bible. And it wasn't just a conversation then. It was a praying. It was a searching for an answer. And the scripture he brought me to that stuck out for me that night was Galatians 3:26. We're going to start it. In Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. His birth allowed everyone, not only the Jews, who are God's chosen people, to be grafted into God's promise. That's us. That's us. You see, it doesn't matter what economic status we are, what type of job we have, how tall we are, where we are born, what color we are, where we have been, or where we are going. Nothing of that nature matters anymore. We are loved by God. Can you grab a hold of that? We are loved by God. We didn't deserve it. I definitely didn't deserve it. But we are loved by God. We are all on the same level. No one better than the other in God's eyes. And we all have an opportunity to receive all the eternal promises that was just spoken about. The opportunity comes through Jesus as a gift, if we receive it. If somebody gives you a gift and you don't take it, they're not going to force you to take it. And neither will God. He's asking for your love in return. It's a gift. And all we have to do is say thank you and receive it. No one can force us, and we can't earn it. Can't earn it. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, we're going to go to, and in Ephesians 2:8 it says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We can't boast about it. It was a gift, and it's for everybody. I'm no better than any of you, and you're no better than I am. For we are God's masterpiece, and that's where there's confusion in this world. We get defeated and beat down. But we are God's masterpiece. He created each one of us in a certain way to fulfill His purpose for us, to bring glory to Him. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're worthless. You are not. You're His masterpiece. Don't forget that. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the things He planned for us long ago. Long ago. At the beginning of time, He knew He was going to create you for this time period. And you may say, I didn't want to be born in this time period because it's crazy. And it is crazy. But He knew that if you leaned into Him, you could handle it and fulfill the purposes He has for you and me. His birth was the start of changing everything. During that time period, there was a lot of violence, lack of God's morality, and slavery. This culture and mindset influenced the people of that time. So when they read that Christ would come, and when they were told that Christ would come and save the world, they automatically thought He was going to come in and clean house, Rambo style. And that's not what He was meant to do. They thought He was going to come in and clean house, get rid of that king that was so rotten. And that would just free them. But there was confusion. There was a mindset that was not right. There was even the top scholars would get confused. That wasn't the case. He was born for many reasons. He was born to bless us at times and to give us a chance at salvation, which is the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all. To know that when we die, we have an opportunity to be reunited with Him. That in itself is more than enough. But He was also born to give us spiritual freedom and power, so that when tough times come, we will be able to rise up through the strength of Jesus, not only to fight off the difficulties, the hurts we face, but to find hope and peace through it all. This is a crazy life. There's a lot of hurt and disappointment. Can we find peace and hope through that? Well, we can if we lean into Jesus and look to His guidance and understand it's all in control. We don't think it's in control, and He does, because He sees the whole picture. And what I see is people sick and hurting. So therefore, I go down a bad trail because my heart is aching for them. But what He sees is through the hurt and aching, there's a compassion that grows inside of me to want to help people. And I don't see that in myself a lot of times. But He sees it. And He's directing it. And He's got direct influence on my life. He's orchestrating it. When pain and suffering come, I see His hand reaching for me, saying, come closer to me, child. When my heart is breaking, I see His hand holding the pieces of my heart together. When I feel hopeless, I see a day when I will be united with Him, having no more pain, witnessing no more suffering, and having a peace that I will not be able to comprehend. And I'm reading a book, or listening to an audiobook on near-death experiences, and I keep hearing the word peace when they're in their experience. Peace, you don't even understand what kind of peace. And that's the peace that I crave, because there's a lot of turmoil in my mind and in my body. And I know I'm not the only one. But I crave peace. And knowing that there will be a day of peace brings me great hope in the midst of trials. To me, that is the significance of Jesus' birth. Then and now. Hope and peace, if we grab a hold of it. That is worth celebrating every year, isn't it? That's worth celebrating every day. So as we go out of this service, let's have fun and enjoy each other's company. But remember what we are celebrating. A Savior is born. A Savior is born. And as I finish this message, let's remember what Romans 8 says. Romans 8:37 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. A God that created the world loves you. Every little detail of this world, every little facet. The eyeball is an amazing structure. If we knew exactly how that structure worked, you would understand that that can only be created. It's an amazing structure. And He created it, and He loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And some of you, and myself included, have done things that would think that we would be unlovable. And that is a lie. We cannot be separated from God. His love. He has a passion for us. He has a passion for us. And all we got to do is turn to Him. We cannot be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.